All right, everybody, it is Steve the Rogue Scholar, and I'm going to have a little bit of fun today. I'll give you a hint. It looks something like this. That right there may not look like much, but when you see my hand go in here, look what I can do now. And let me just go ahead and make it even more fun so you can see that I can do it in a bunch of different ways, hoping that I'll be able to do it in different fashions. Oh, wait a minute. What happened? Did it go away? Did it vanish? Let's see what happens. Wonder what happened. Well, I guess I lost my phone. So see, I was getting all excited thinking that I had something to share with you guys. Let's see if I can get it back before I cancel out of this idea. Really hoping to do something, but being that I'm my own tech support and everything else, it makes it very hard to, makes it hard. So let's see what happens. Let's see what happened with my live stream. See why it vanished on me. Very, very infuriating. But nonetheless, it is what it is. So let's do it. Hey, look, he's back. All right. So let's try it. Let's see what happens. Give me a second. It's no fun. Never fun for it to sort of shit on you in the middle of what you're trying to do, but hey, it is what it is, right? It is what it is. So let's go ahead and add him back to the stream here. Let's see if I can. Yeah, there we go. I mean, it ain't perfect, but getting close. It's better. Better than Ezra. All right. So here we go, folks. For those of you who oftentimes wonder what the hell is going on around here, let me just suffice it to say that I'm asking the same question now as I'm trying to figure out how to do this stuff. All right. Sucks to be your own tech support, folks. Sucks to fucking be your own tech support. Never let anyone tell you differently. All right. So, you know, one of the things that I find challenging is talking to people about MMT who are socialists, who are, you know, I'm a resource-based economy guy, right? And it's like, well, that's great. And you can do me a favor. I may join you someday if that ever comes to be. But MMT is right here, right now, and we don't know how to deal with it. We don't understand money at all. And so until we can manage to learn money, we're not going to understand the way the system works. So we're not going to be able to understand how to fix the system if we're going to fix the system at all. We don't have enough power. Let's be fair. We don't have enough coordination. We don't have enough organization. So we got to learn how the fuck money works. And I find the people that fight back on this curious because it's like, is your intention to improve the lives of people? Or is it just to have a small clique that you can hang out with on Sundays and play Dungeons and Dragons or something? I don't know. I don't know what the deal is. But I want to walk you guys through a very, very high-level butchered version of the way I see money being spent into existence and the way I see it being taxed out of existence, okay? Let's go ahead. I'm going to go ahead and start this from scratch. We're going to go ahead and do this. So Congress over here, and see, now I'm upside down. So guess what I have to do? Because I'm upside down, I have to do something that I've done five times now because the way this thing works, it consistently does this to me. Let's go ahead, turn the whole goddamn apparatus around, see if I can position everything in such a way that it makes sense so I'm not freaking losing my mind. Close enough, good enough, good enough, good enough, good enough, good enough, good enough, maybe. There we go. Hot dog. I feel like maybe I'm in the right spot now. All right, so here's Congress. Okay, Congress is given a bunch of stuff from all the people that supposedly support them. They want to have a Green New Deal, or they want to have some sort of, you know, bill passed. So Congress debates it. Congress, that would be, I'm combining the two, the Senate, and I'm combining the House of Delegates here, or House of Representatives, excuse me. And I'm saying that these guys have come together, they've written a bill, it's been approved, they pass it on to the president for his signature. However, right here, Article 1, Section 8, gives Congress the power of the purse. Okay? Since all money that we do is fiat at this point, okay? What happens is that this is by decree. So Congress passes on this bill to the president. So we're going to see POTUS right here. POTUS goes ahead and says, okay, you know, I agree. I'll sign this bill into law. Okay. So now inside of the bill, all right, inside of the bill, it said probably $1.5 billion for XYZ. And it lays out all this stuff. And so it issues instructions now to the Fed. Fed, okay, keystrokes deposits into a bank account. This amount right here is given to the Fed to spend, or given by the Fed to spend. This was approved, this was created by Congress here at Article 1, Section 8. Congress said, hey, let there be light, and there was light. They passed, the president signs it into law. All these things down here are now part of that. And then they issue instructions. This is instructions, AKA the law, to the Fed. The Fed then puts those into a deposit. So here is the account, the bank account for Congress regarding this bill that they've written. So here is business A, maybe it's Boeing. Here's business B, maybe it's Halliburton. Here's business C, maybe it's, BlackRock. All these different shitty companies that our government does business with, okay? Now, at no point in time here did you see them say, well, we need more tax dollars. Nope. You don't see that anywhere, do you? You don't see that, okay? So what happens is with these folks, submit an invoice, these guys send a check to them, okay? So that's money, brand new money. It doesn't exist until it's spent into existence. Now all of a sudden, BlackRock has $500 million. Halliburton has $500 million. Whatever. And then they pay their employees, they pocket it with the C-level, whatever it is they do, they spend that money. And then it's taxed. When they spend it, there's tax money that comes out of that. Every step in this process, taxes are taken out, okay? And they come back and received. Here's the Treasury. Treasury says, hey, in my TGA, this is the Treasury's general account. Do I have enough money to cover all the bills that come through here? And if they don't, some of that is marked up inside of these accounts, and then the rest is deleted. Because what happens when the Fed creates this money over here, okay, and puts it in there, it creates a subsequent reserve over here. So if you think about this, on one side you have a reserve, on the other side you have the private sector asset that is the dollar. Okay? So when this private dollar is returned as a tax, this reserve that say it had 100 here and is 100 here, when this comes back and they spend it back as 99, that 99, that right there, purges a reserve. So this goes down. Okay? Here, that's the deal. So within that space, you understand the taxes are literally deleted. They are literally causing a drain of reserves, the reserves that the Fed created when it spent that in. Now, guess what? Bonds are then sold after. Bonds are sold after, okay? They're not sold before. They're not sold as a funding operation, okay? They're not sold as a funding operation. Now, the reason why we sell bonds is a couple things. I'm going to come on the screen momentarily. The reason we sell bonds is because we have an interest rate that we want to defend. In other words, we're saying interest on reserves, interest on money, interest on whatever is, let's say, 2%, okay? So in order to maintain a desired interest rate level where it's not going high or low because of inflation, et cetera, they will go ahead and they will sell bonds to support the interest rate target that they have, right? If we set the interest rate to zero, and let the Fed create its own debt instruments. You could buy bonds from the Fed. You could do whatever instead of the Treasury. Now, all of a sudden, we've got a totally different game at play. But for this exercise here, bonds are not a funding operation. All this happened. Oh, let's get back to the picture. All the picture that you see here happened, regardless of the bond. The bond is after, all right? So the bonds, these guys are sold out on the open market and people buy them. And if no one buys them, guess what? It doesn't make a shit's bit of difference. The federal government will come in and buy its own bonds because it's a bullshit operation that means absolutely nothing. Okay? Means absolutely nothing. Now, I want to do something interesting. Hopefully this right here, it ain't perfect. I'm sure there's somebody out there that'll say, I know more than Grumbine. That's a stupid thing. That's wrong. No, whatever, right? This is close enough because believe me, the 6-chapter or 10-chapter or 12-chapter banking primer by Eric Timoyne is much more involved than what I'm doing here. Much more accurate. But I want to do something else very important here, okay? And we're going to talk about China for a minute. We're going to talk about China. We're going to talk about their debt, okay? So China, the U.S., they do a lot of business with each other, okay? When China sells goods and services into the United States gives China U.S. dollars. China says, I don't need a lot of U.S. dollars. So what does U.S. dollars do with China? Well, China may use some of them for petroleum purchases, maybe. They might use them to facilitate other trade. So let's say China has $1 trillion. I don't know, whatever. A lot of zeros, right? And they're like, well, we only really want to have, let's say, this. And so what do? They take the rest of this and they buy what? They buy bonds. Why? Because bonds earn a certain interest rate, whatever that interest rate is. Okay? Now, if I'm holding $1 trillion or $500 billion of US dollars, and it's not my primary currency, what do I do? What do I do with that money? Ask yourself, what do I do with that money? Well, if I'm not an idiot, I might buy a bond. Okay. So now all of a sudden, China has found that there are short term, 10-year, 5-year, whatever bonds that they can purchase, and they earn, let's say, 1%, 2%, maybe 6% even now, right? Interest. So now all of a sudden, this money right here is growing. Growing, right? Because they're smart. Because they had U.S. dollars. That's not yuan. That's not Chinese dollars. That's not anything. This is money that China has earned. It's earned. That's it. Okay? They've earned U.S. dollars. U.S. dollars are not the unit of account that they use in China. The only value U.S. dollars have for China are either A, purchasing petroleum or other U.S. assets. They could do a bunch of things, a bunch of things we could do. They could do with that money. They could give that money if they wanted to. They could use that money if they wanted to free up the debts of other nations that they're trying to engender, some sort of goodwill. They could use that money for anything. However, they decide, hey, I'm going to go ahead and park that money into a debt instrument that earns me interest. So this is basically an interest-bearing account at the Fed. Period. Okay? That's it. So that money is now growing in interest. That's your debt. Where do you think the interest payment comes from for the $500 billion that they've invested in bonds and they're earning a 2% interest or where? Where do you think that comes from? Do you think that comes from taxpayer dollars? Where do you think it comes from? It comes from the U.S. government. When the U.S. government sells a bond, it knows the amount of money that it is going to earn, and it will pre-fund that. And regardless, the bottom line is that all of the interest money that comes from these bonds is what? Watch this. Get it down here. It's new money. It's new money. Okay? Brand new spanking money. Now, here's the problem. This is a question for people that are smarter than me. What if China doesn't want anything the U.S. makes? What if the U.S. isn't really making anything anymore? And what if China has tons and tons and tons of U.S. dollar holdings and it doesn't serve their purpose to hold them anymore? Is that going to destroy the U.S. economy if China doesn't want to hold their U.S. dollars and bonds? Does the U.S. really give a shit if China doesn't want to hold their money in bonds? Do they care for real? No, they don't. Warren Mosler would tell you that the only thing we owe China is a bank statement in the end. Okay, we owe them a statement. That's it. Okay? So within that space, when you hear people talk about, well, China's not going to buy U.S. debt anymore, how much do you think it fucking matters? I want you to think about it. I want you to ask yourself the really hard question. I want you to think really hard about this. China got $1 trillion in this example from selling goods and services into the U.S. That money can sit at the Fed and do absolutely nothing, or that money can be used to purchase bonds and earn a nominal interest rate. Now, you would have to be a loser to not invest that money into something that would continue to grow your money, right? Why would you just leave it buried under the mattress when you could get 2% interest on that $1 trillion or whatever? So this is, in essence, what they're worrying about with the national debt. Now, if you go back to our first diagram, you know the bonds are sold after. They are not a funding operation. There's a law in the books that says we've got to sell bonds when we deficit spend. I believe this has always been a way of ensuring that the rich stay rich, no matter what the government does, no matter who it spends money on or where it spends money, it's always going to ensure that the rich receive a little bit of a cut It's like the VIG, man. It's like they're the mafia walking down the street trying to ensure that the trash collection gets you a little extra, right? Remember, interest payments, new money, all new money, all new money. In this diagram right here, Congress, POTUS, instructions, Fed, keystrokes, Treasury deposits, okay? I mean, bottom line, where are the fucking tax dollars in this diagram? Am I missing something? Do you think that there's like this big bag right here? Let's draw the bag and have the little twisty tie on it, you know, and with the US dollar sign on it. Is that what you're thinking? Are you thinking that we're running around with a bunch of bags of tax dollars, and then the Congress has to go over here and check out how many bags of tax dollars we have before we can spend? Is that the deal? Is that what you think? It's not. So here's the other thing. Now, let me stop here. Let me stop here. I've never done one of these things, even in person, where there hasn't been some dude with the broken glasses and the tape in the middle that goes, "Actually, you got something wrong, Steve." And to them, I drop an elbow, a very hard elbow, and I keep moving, okay? The fact is that this is intentionally simplified. It's intentionally simplified, but it's not much more difficult than that. I mean, yes, there's a bunch of these wild formulas about how much capital and blah, 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 but even capital requirements are like, you know, gray zone, and it's all, hey, let's make up what we need for that. Okay, it's not like some hard and fast rule. It's not some hard and fast thing spoken into existence from the Lord of the stars in the sky. Okay, it is just a man-made construct that they've decided. They can undecide most of these things in a heartbeat. All right, this is bonds. Oh, let's get back to it. Let me take that back. Let me make it. This is the bonds, the new money. All right. We're going to do something else here. This is going to be Social Security. Okay? Here is your paycheck. In your paycheck, it has FICA dollars. FICA, it's got a little FICA thing on it, right? FICA tax is taken out of your pay. Are what? They're ground up into a nub. They're trash. They're shredded. They don't exist anymore. However, once it takes it out, there's a little thing. You know, when you go on the roads and you're out there on the roads and you are driving, you see that big, looks like a hose in the middle of the road, and your car goes boom, 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 boom across it, and it ticks a counter. It says one, car passed it. Ticks a counter. It says two, here's another one, right? Ticks another one. It goes boom, here you go. Yep, boom, here you go. Well, that's what FICA does. And what it does is it sends those little things like you're riding over the, speed bump that tells you how many cars are going across. And inside here is this spreadsheet called the trust fund. Okay. Trust fund has no money in it because the money was deleted, is destroyed, just like all tax dollars are. Okay. Now, in here, we have a certain amount of money. Let's say it says we have this much money. It doesn't have that much money. It's just been checked. Yep, check. Oh, okay, Bobby's in attendance today. Okay, check. How about Josie? Yep, check. Is it? Yep, check. That's all this is. You've put that much into the trash can and it's been shredded. All right. So here's what this trust fund has. It has authority. to make payments, to authorize payments. It's like being the referee in a football game or the ref in another game, okay? And the ref has the authority to call a penalty or whatever. Well, when it comes to the trust fund, it has authority to make payments. Okay? But guess where the payments come from? Dun 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 dun. This has already happened over here. You will look at your treasury, you will look at your Social Security check, and you will notice that it came from the Treasury. It didn't come from the Social Security Trust Fund. It came from the fucking Treasury. Why is that? Because all new money comes from that. And it's already been approved over here because that was part of the Social Security law. So what ends up happening? Over here, authority to pay. They say, hey, pay. So these guys say, okay. And out goes the checks. Out goes the checks. Can you please do me a favor? I need you to explain to me like I'm five, like I'm a five-year-old, okay? I need you to explain to me how in the fuck the Republicans ever raided the Social Security Trust Fund. I've got nothing but time, folks. Please tell me how the Republicans raided the Social Security Trust Fund. If you can do it, I'll give you a Slurpee. If you can't do it, I'll just shame you or something. I don't know. I'm not sure what I'll do. I'll do something. Okay? But suffice it to say, all of this right here, from Social Security to a Green New Deal to Ukraine to Israel, what else do you hate? What are the things you cannot stand that the government spends your hard-earned tax dollar on? And I'll show you that your government doesn't spend your hard-earned tax dollar. And then I will proceed after I've said it once and explained. Once I've explained this, then you're primed for shaming, right? Now you're in the shame zone if you screw that up again, right? I'm okay with everybody's ignorant once. But once they've been taught and they still double back down and say Republicans raided the Social Security Trust Fund, you know that you're dealing with someone who's not a serious person, who shouldn't be listened to, okay? Now, I was trying to think about how people deal with reserve balances and stuff like that. And I couldn't really come up with the greatest drawing for that because it's a little bit more complicated than I'm prepared to try and do with this technology I have today. But here's the thing. Let's go ahead and get this off here. When you are a small country and you're doing business with another country and you've got debt payable in their currency, you have to have currency of their variety to make those payments. So you'll oftentimes see countries, and you can go out there on the web and find out what each country's reserve holding makeup is. But depending upon which countries you do the most business with, you're going to have more reserve holdings to facilitate those transactions. If you're a country like a Brazil or a Venezuela or something like that, and you peg your currency. Now, we're going to do another exercise here. Let's do this exercise. I am in country A, and I have a peso. A peso is my country's government unit of account. Okay? And we have no productive capacity. We're not energy sovereign. Not food sovereign. We don't make value added products and services. Okay. We may have to do what they call a peg. So they may peg their value to the US dollar. They may choose to peg their peso or their currency or whatever it is to this. So if I say 10 pesos equals one US dollar, I need to make sure that if somebody cashes in on this peg and demands US dollars in this convertibility arrangement, that I have enough reserves, US dollar holdings, to back that statement up. Okay? So how is a country going to get reserves? Well, they would either have to sell something of value to the US, or they would have to trade something to someone else and get their reserves. They would have to buy US dollars on the open market, whatever. But ultimately, country A has to have enough reserves of whatever currency the other country need, you know, they're pegged to be able to maintain that peg. This is why if the U.S. government does something screwy to the dollar, it directly impacts the peso. Does that make sense? Once you peg it, you've lost. So when you look at some of these South American countries that peg their currency to the U.S. dollar, let me come back up. When you look at some of these countries that peg their currency to the U.S. dollar, if the U.S. fucks around with interest rates, if the U.S. fucks around with trying to weaken the dollar, doing something to weaken the dollar, guess what? You are vulnerable now. Now the country can literally create really, really bad recessionary pressures, or maybe inflationary pressures, or maybe even hyperinflationary pressures, okay? I'm going to go back here to the drawing again for a second. And I'm going to say this. Let's get out of this for a moment. If I have a pizza pie, and in this pizza pie, I go ahead and I say, I'm going to cut it up in a certain number of slices. In this case, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 slices. And I say, this is a dollar. And I'm pegging that $1 to 1 ounce. And this is all wrong, guys. Okay. 1 ounce of gold. If I cut this, if I print more money against this pizza pie, and I slice this pizza pie like this, guess what I've just done? I've debased my currency. This is what the gold bugs are always talking about. Okay. However, this is a commodity money. We are not on a commodity money. And even this was always not a real gold standard. It was just a very loose gold standard. In other words, once we ended the convertibility to gold, which happened in 72 because of France doing what France does, demanding payment in gold,
the U.S. said, screw that. No,
we're going to go to a free-floating fiat currency that'll be traded on the open markets for the rest of the world. But in our country, we're not going to have to worry about those highs and lows, okay? Except unless we're doing imports, which we do a lot of imports, right? So in this particular case, once we went out here to the fiat system, a free-floating meaning the dollar bounces up and down and is traded on the open market, okay? This no longer mattered. Now, it's just based on the full faith and credit of the United States government. All right? So this whole thing, this whole you're debasing, you're devaluing my dollar is bullshit. The people that say don't understand this frequently try to tell you that this is relevant, but this is bullshit. Okay? You understand this is bullshit. This doesn't happen anymore. This isn't real. And so because there are people out there with a goal, if I limit the amount of money coming in, the left would say, hey, that means I'm limiting the rich from getting richer. If I limit that also, the right would say, hey, you're limiting our ability to grow wealth while allowing the poor to stay in the game, even though they didn't do the right things, blah, blah, blah. Over here, though, the fiat system allows us to spend money into existence. And here's the poor. We can spend it on a Green New Deal. We could do it on a federal job guarantee. We can do it on Medicare for All or better. Okay. Notice no tax dollars are required. That's not how this works. They're not a funding operation. This is all going back 100%. If I can pull the right piece of paper out. Sorry, got too many of them going now. There we go. Going back to this, right? Green New Deal, Congress writes the bill, goes to POTUS, issue instructions, Fed goes ahead, makes deposits in the Treasury's account. Treasury then spends the money into existence to these other entities that did business with us through the Green New Deal. Okay? But these things are all doable. If we have the what? That's right, the real resources for purchase. As long as we have those real resources. So let's take a look at one of our favorites, and that would be Medicare for All. Currently, we have insurance companies all over the place. All these insurance companies. And what is their role? Some loser will probably try and tell you it's to help you get your services taken care of. But the real reason they're there is to prevent service, to prevent you from getting service. But here is the federal government. It spends money directly to doctors. Here's you, the taxpayer, the citizen, whatever. You go to them for service. Instead of it being denied and run through all this shit, federal government would make direct payments to them. Whatever rules and regs that go into the M4All system would be in play. But this is it. Well, guess what? Each of these times, these guys go back and back and forth and back and forth and back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. Guess what that is? That's money. Each transaction is money. Okay? If you eliminate all of this stuff, you eliminate a huge amount of economic activity, from jobs to transactions, bankruptcies, on and on and on, all these different things that come from it. And this becomes a much more efficient system. And so all of a sudden, that's real GDP right there, my friends, even though it's for horrible purposes. That is all GDP right there. You eliminate that, this costs a fraction of that. So what is that? Let's go ahead and use this word, deflationary. If it's deflationary, what do you think, if we say we want to raise taxes to curb inflation, if we have a deflationary thing, what would we want to do? We would want to cut taxes. So there are some really messed up people that don't really have a clue about the world they live in that are busy telling you we got to raise taxes, do a progressive taxation, whatever, to pay for Medicare for all. But I've just shown you empirically right here, okay, that this, by eliminating that, creates deflationary bias, which by extension means this requires a tax cut right there. How many knuckleheads that are championing healthcare can tell you that? And if they can't tell you that, why not? Why can't they fucking tell you that? And why do they ignore those who can tell you that when they try and explain it? Now, let me show you something even worse. Remember this picture, folks. This is national. Okay? Fucking national. Let's go and do something here. Here is the big old US of A. USA. Here's Florida. Okay, you like my drawing. I know you do. I know you fucking love my drawing of the USA. Don't even say you don't. You love the way Texas is sort of a blob. Let's give it a little dingle dingle at the bottom for Texas. Okay? USA, federal government, spends money into existence. We've already shown you that. We already know the federal government spends that money into existence. However, we have the state of Maryland. I don't know, something like that. There's the panhandle or whatever. Maryland does not create its own currency. It needs tax dollars. Maryland also has lots and lots of things that it needs to spend money on. And so it needs to do some things to attract tax revenue into its state. So you want to lure business. What is one way to lure business? Cut taxes, right? So what happens when I cut taxes? Oh, wait a minute. I have to cut spending. So what happens when some jackwad comes and tells you they want to do state by state healthcare? What would happen if somebody that said they wanted state by state healthcare didn't understand this. Now let me throw in another monkey wrench. Texas, whatever the fuck its shape is, says, hey guys, we're willing to cut taxes to the gills, man. We're going to cut taxes. And then all of a sudden Florida comes through and says, hey, no income tax. Maryland's sitting there trying to figure out how to lure business there. And they better hope that proximity to the nation's capital is a good deal. But otherwise, businesses from here leave to go to Florida, leave to go to Texas, leave to go to Kansas, where Brownback cut taxes. Okay? And guess what happens to places like Detroit, Michigan? Detroit. Flint. Rust Belt. What happens? Fucking layoffs, massive economic failure, complete failure of entire cities, entire everything, all because some dicklick didn't fucking know that states don't create money. And since fucking states don't create fucking money, they have to get taxes. But because of the nature of the state-by-state fight, they have to cut taxes to bring taxes in. And because they did that, they had to cut spending. What does having a state-based healthcare system require? Increased spending. Increased taxes. And what are these guys doing? They're fleeing idiots that try to raise state taxes, not realizing that these guys are all in a death fight, a death match, to lure business into their fucking regions. Do you understand what I'm saying? Because I am sick to fucking death of being told I'm just a bad guy. I'm sitting there fucking showing you, but some chucklehead that fucking doesn't know this stuff, well, how could you possibly know? Well, I'm smarter than you. How about that? I'm just fucking tired of saying it differently. I'm just smarter than you. Maybe that's it. Or maybe it's just that the fucking data is the deal. Maybe that's the deal. Maybe it's not about me being smarter. Maybe it's about you just simply not listening and paying attention. Maybe that's what it's really about, okay? So now, when you look, I'm going to show you this. Pensions. Wow, right? Pensions are underfunded, but they have requirements for pensions to be funded. Well, what's happening? State workers are not getting, they're not getting their pensions. In many cases, there's people fighting for their pensions because their pensions have been wiped out. Why? Because if you have a federal pension could just do what? Create money and pay for the damn thing. But unfortunately, they don't get it. And because they don't get it, when you try and explain this to them, they act like you're the bad guy. Like somehow or another, you're evil. You're the wrong one. You don't know what you're talking about. My God, what do you want? My kids' memory to suffer? What do you want us all to die? What's the problem? Why don't you want us to do state-by-state health care? And then I just go like this, but they won't listen. They won't pay attention. They won't nothing. So let's go to the next step, because I've shown, and boy, oh boy, carpe diem, you said the best part. I'm going to show that here in a minute. You said that really, really good. Yes, that too. States are also dependent on federal grants, largely coming from the military-industrial complex, domestic supply chains scattered out, blah, blah, blah. Watch this. We're going to do this. We're going to do this whole thing together, okay? I'm going to show you so you understand the reason why we can't cut the military. Not that we can't cut it, but because dumb fucks won't listen, we're always stuck chasing our tail. Okay? So here's the situation. Here's my United States again, really crappy. And let's do a little dick here down at the bottom for Texas. All right? When I say military industrial complex is going to build an airplane, a bomber, an F-35, let's say. I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to say, well, Florida, how about you manufacture seats? And hey, North Carolina, how about you manufacture switches? And hey, you, Massachusetts, how about you do XYZ? And hey, how about you, Texas? How about you do XYZ? And how about you, California? How about you do XYZ? And hey, how about you, Seattle? Why don't you do XYZ? And how about you, Michigan? Why don't you do XYZ? And how about these flyover states and all the other ones? Now what's going to happen? Each one of them has a part to play in the F-35. Now here you go. I'm going to pretend like I'm one of the kids that doesn't understand this. Well, Your Honor, everyone, we must cut the F-35 program. The F-35 program is creating weapons of mass destruction and murder. We must. It's a failed program. We must cut it. Right? Okay. Fair enough. However, the problem is each of these states, remember, they're trapped in a race to the bottom. Each of these states depends on what? Base, military base, 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 base. Okay, now guess what else happens? Guess what else happens? This is the best part. Now all of a sudden, they say, well, hey, we want Raytheon in our backyard. Raytheon's going to create XYZ. Well, what did that state have to do to get Raytheon there? They had to cut taxes. They had to do whatever. So now not only is Raytheon building stuff for the F-35, but they've also got a military base there, and they've got all this other stuff. So it's highly dependent on the military-industrial complex. This is called military Keynesianism. They discovered something. They discovered something very important. You ready? They discovered that we, the people, will spend endlessly on war because we have a fear, a need for security. And they're able to drum up that fear in us. And then to put action to fear, they go through the process of literally making it so that the production of all those things are scattered throughout the United States. So if they cut a program, every state is fucked. And what do you think is going to happen? Do you think they're going to go along with your cut? No? So wait a minute. What's going to happen? What's going to happen when the state-by-staters want to do a state-based program? What's going to happen? I'll tell you what's going to happen. It's not going to fly. It's got nothing to do with not wanting. Shit, if I didn't understand that there are multiple circuits in this economic flow, there's the federal circuit. And once it's spent into the private sector, the states are de facto private sector entities. They've got some different privileges because they're states, but they can go bankrupt. They can not have enough money to function. They can have all kinds of problems. And what happens when states are losing money? Layoffs. What happens when layoffs happen? Oh, no, we have no revenue. This is where we would talk about a job guarantee. If we could implement one, we could show that as people get laid off, they would roll on to the federal job guarantee. That federal job guarantee, those people would be paying taxes. The states would be made whole. Everything would be copacetic. But alas, people can't get this fucking through their heads. And they don't want to because it violates a narrative of gods that they herald and they worship. And as a result of that, we never get any further. I'm going to keep trying to do shows like this. I'm up against a wall right now. I got to get back to my day job. But please leave in the comments if anything that I said today makes sense, didn't make sense, you think I'm full of shit, whatever, leave it in the comments. Okay? Let us know. Reveal your great big brain. Let us know how smart you are. You think you can push back? Let us know. Big brain stuff here, you know, go and leave us a comment. Anyway, I am Steve Grumbine. I am the Rogue Scholar. Please do me a favor. Please like and subscribe. Help us get past the algorithms. And then on top of all that, after that, just go ahead and realize that Grumbine will always be bringing the elbow of truth, which is what I'm going to leave you with today.